Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 73 of the Big B Cast. I just wanted to let you know before we get started that Melanie and I are on Facebook with all the podcast people at facebook.com/thebigbcast. It's just a fun little place to talk back and forth, leave questions, that kind of stuff. We'd love to see y'all there. Thanks so much for being here. Thanks so much for listening to all this random that we put on the podcast for you, and we hope you really enjoy episode 73. Here it is. Hey everybody, this is Sophie. This is Boo Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
And this is podcast number 73.
Wow.
I know. It's only taken us 10 years.
Well, what we average, what, seven a year?
Seven point three a year, even.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're on a good roll. I don't really know what more you could want than that. The sad thing is you think if you compare how many we've done just in like the last 6 weeks, I mean, our average has been substantially higher.
I think we've done about half of them in the last 6 weeks.
Well, listen, we got some momentum now. We finally figured it out.
We did. It's all about finding a pocket of time.
That's right. But like I told you, I have not so far, knock on some sort of wood, but I have not called AT&T since our last podcast. So we're just hoping for the best.
Well, you've got to muster up the strength.
Mm-hmm. I can't. I haven't been able to deal with it. I've got a writing deadline. Mm-hmm. I was out of town all last week. So I'm like, I don't know when. And, you know, as you know, Perry's having surgery tomorrow. So at this point, I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know when I'm going to call AT&T. I can't deal with it.
Well, maybe when he's recovering, you may have a minute.
Maybe so. Maybe when I'm dead. I don't know. I can't. One of these days, it'll really drive me good and crazy, and that's when I'll deal with it, you know?
Yeah, you'll hit your limit with it.
Uh-huh. I'll have had enough. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. So we were just together.
We were just together. Melanie was here in Birmingham to speak, and I had no idea. Apparently, I had several friends who were there to listen to you.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, I mean, I knew people knew you, but I thought there were different people that said, oh, Sophie, but a lot of them were people who had heard you because you spoke at that same luncheon like 2 years ago.
I did. It's a lovely luncheon.
It was a very lovely luncheon. So, you know, I told you I came home with all sorts of interesting stories from that luncheon. I've heard a lot about people.
I know. We got so tickled. We laughed so hard the afternoon that after the luncheon because Melanie was telling me about some older ladies she met who were full of entertaining stories. And I wish, like everything, I had been there.
Mm-hmm. It was really good. I think my favorite was about the couple who got remarried after the A&M Baylor game back in 1950, whatever. Because they had to kiss so many times for touchdowns that they realized they still loved each other. And they got married on the way home.
That's right. They went to the game divorced with a couple. Uh-huh. The wife now lives in Birmingham.
Yep. They went ahead and went to the game because they'd already bought their tickets.
Sure. As you do. Mm-hmm. As you do. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And those tickets were probably, what do you think they were, a dollar a piece back in 1950 something?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Dollar. Maybe. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Maybe 50 cents. So they went, and she said that her friends were Aggies who had gotten a divorce, and the score was like 53-9. And the Aggies beat Baylor. And so when Aggies score a touchdown, you kiss. And she said that their divorced friends, had to kiss so many times that they realized they were still in love, and they stopped on the way home, got remarried.
It makes me so happy.
I know. I mean, it makes you think maybe all the world needs is more college football. Maybe so. That's the problem.
Maybe so.
All the problems.
I think that whole thing that they still went to the game because they bought their tickets, that to me is like the quintessential children of the depression deal. Like, there's no way they're going to waste those tickets. They paid good money for those tickets. They were going to use them.
Absolutely. And back in that day, I mean, you can't get on StubHub and resell those. You're just stuck. You got to. Mm-mm, you got to go. You shelled out 50 cents for those tickets. That's right. You're still going. So.
And then after that, we got to go down to the SEC office, which honestly, I have to say, I feel like we've gotten to do some real fun stuff together over the last 10 or so years. And that was way up there for me.
Oh, that was for sure one of the top of the list. I mean, like, I don't know. It felt like a pivotal moment to be able to see the inner workings. And I really did think, and I said this on my blog this morning, and I know you're the same, is I really, the more I've started thinking about it and just how nerdy I process, just my inner football nerd processed all that information. I was like, I feel so bad for anybody who has to watch a football game with me this fall, because I'm going to need to repeat that entire lecture to anybody in the room.
Oh, there is no, I mean, I feel like we have knowledge now that needs to be shared.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I feel like they're just short. I feel like we did so good with our calls that I feel like maybe we're just short of maybe being asked to maybe get in on the collaborative process.
I honestly don't know, because I had that moment, and I'm sure you did too, before we started that process where you kind of think, okay, do they think we're just a couple of hacks? Like, do they just think we're a couple of people? Mm-hmm. Who like, you know, like football because we like the colors and we like the fall weather. Like, do they really think that we know the rules?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah, I was thinking same. And then I really, and I'll be honest, which this is my personality, I started to question myself. You know, like I got a little worried, like, are they going to ask me questions that I don't know the answer to? Like, is there going to be something? And then as soon as that thing, I think we both know, as soon as that thing, they pulled up that first game film, we were ready for business.
We really were. I was so proud of us. I really mm-hmm. was so proud of us. I felt like mm-hmm. it went as well as it could have gone. Not that we were auditioning for anything, but.
No, but if we were.
But if we were. It went as well as it could have gone. It was, we were just a hair shy of Emma Stone and La La Land singing.
I was just
singing. Here's the one to dream.
Yes.
In front of that big SEC video room.
Yes. Here's to the mess we make. Yeah. Here's to the mess we make.
Listen, maybe that needs to be the SEC's campaign this fall instead of that whole, it just means more with the woman I didn't know talking. Like, maybe it needs to be.
I don't get that campaign.
I don't either. I mean, I get that it just means more part, but the commercials, I don't get as much. I'm sorry, SEC. You know, I'm blindly loyal, but I don't, that has not resonated with me.
The SEC, here's to the ones who dream.
That's right. And then I think it could cut to us saying,
I think the ball crossed the goal line.
Right.
I don't know. And then we did learn a valuable lesson, which is you can't say, I think. You have to either say, I know the ball crossed the goal line, or I know it didn't.
Or,
I know
the ball crossed the goal line. He did not break the plane. I think, or it looks like.
No, I know he led with his helmet and that was a defenseless player.
Yes. That was targeting.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I feel confident in this call. So you have to know or don't know.
And
It's like Mr. Miyagi.
And I think that the fact that they kind of kept us on the clock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If that were a game show, I would play it over and over and over again. Like, if that were an app, I would be completely captivated by it. Where here's a play, you've got a certain amount of time, and you've got to decide, does the play stand? Do you confirm it? Or do you overrule it?
Yep. That's right. That's right. You're on the clock. I mean, to me, that would be the best game show on television.
And, you know, honestly, like, I have never noticed before. I have thought before that the wording was different. The ruling on the field stands, or the ruling on the field is confirmed. I never realized that there really is a distinction. That the ruling on the field stands means we just can't see enough to overturn it. And the ruling on the field is confirmed means it was absolutely on the money.
Yeah. We have video evidence that shows this is exactly the way it happened. So, yeah, I know. It was all very fascinating. That was a life highlight for sure.
It was delightful.
I would just like to go. I feel like the only other question now is if we could ever go and sit in there during an actual game going on. Although they did say, remember how quiet it is?
Yes.
And so I don't know that we would fit in that. That would be our downfall.
No, they would have to put some sort of silent chamber around us.
Yeah, because I couldn't be quiet. Well, it depends on now. If it wasn't a game I was invested in, maybe I could be quiet. But otherwise, no, ma'am.
The whole thing, I mean, I, I I don't even, and it wasn't video board, by the way. It was the SEC Video Center. I got the terminology wrong a minute ago. The whole thing was just, it was a delight and a joy. And I felt like I could have been a person who really overstayed my welcome there. Show us more things.
Yes, yes, exactly. Let us tell you more thoughts about whatever. So, because I didn't want to get into it because he was so nice, but I wanted to say, I appreciate that you've given me your whole spiel on targeting, and I get that it's making the game safer. I get that you have to make those calls to try to make players be more intentional about the hits that they make and all that stuff. But I think you and I both can agree that DeShazer Everett should not have been ejected from that A&M game 3 or 4 seasons ago, whenever it was. That was a bad call. So, but I didn't want to offend, you know, because I'm hoping to get my bat phone straight to the line. So I certainly didn't want to challenge him, but I thought DeShazer Everett, he was an innocent man. He was wronged.
Well, it's good to know that you've let go of it. I think that's what really is important, is that you've moved on.
Yeah, I haven't held on to it at all. I'm not still thinking about it.
Well, I did see today they released the schedule for SEC Media Days this summer.
And
when the coaches are here, and I know Dan Mullen is day 2. I'll look real quick and tell you when Kevin Sumlin is here. Because I really think that might be worth your while to come back to Birmingham.
I would for sure go. I'm going to tell you a true confession. I even started looking last night at various soccer camps that could take place in Birmingham, because I thought, what if we came and she went to a soccer camp in Birmingham?
That would be delightful. Okay, so Mullen is day 2 on July 11th, and Sumlin is day 3 on July 12th.
Okay, that could maybe fit into my summer.
Okay, well, just think on these things.
Okay.
Doesn't Samford have a soccer camp? Or
yeah, that's actually what I was looking at, was Samford soccer camp. They have a really good one. So, but I can't remember I don't know if they had the dates released yet. But I was just curious. I was like, what would that if we did that? You know, like somewhere different. So,
okay.
I don't know. So we'll see. But maybe we could tie that in with that and media days and the whole thing.
It could be our favorite thing we've ever done, I feel like, if it all worked out.
It would be fun. That would be a lot of fun. And then, yeah, except until the part where I somehow got a hold of Coach Sumlin and told him how good I was at making those calls. And that would be awkward.
Listen, I'm sure he and Coach Mullen both would really appreciate any insight we had into the game. Mm-hmm. I think he really.
Of course they would. Mm-hmm. Of course they would. Mm-hmm. So, but we had a good visit. We never did get a cheese tray, although we did get delightful appetizers both nights that we went out to dinner.
We did. We had so many appetizers that by the time we left, we were both craving a cheeseburger.
Like, I know.
That's all we ate the whole time you were here, were various dips and things. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Flatbreads and and different chips and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, it was. And so when I got home Friday night, I had Mexican food, but I got like a chili relleno, like full on, because I was like, I need protein. And then Saturday night we did get cheeseburgers. I was like, I've got to have like real food.
Mm-hmm. And it was delicious, wasn't it?
It was so good. It was so good. But I did love eating all the appetizers while I was there.
I know. Well, you were a great excuse for me to do that, because you know my people don't necessarily feel like that's a great meal strategy.
No, that's not real food. Mm-hmm. So, so anyway, but I had a good time and I feel like I'm still recovering a little bit. Just, you know, it's hard to get back in the swing of things when you get back home.
I know. Well, you know, you left Friday and then I left later Friday and went and did a retreat in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and was there Friday night and Saturday and left pretty late. Well, kind of mid Saturday afternoon, I guess, came back home and went straight to school to chaperone the spring fling dance.
Oh, that's right.
and did that and got home. And I think when I walked in the back door that night, I was so tired. My eyes hurt. You know what I mean? Like just that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel much better now.
Okay.
So Sunday night was the Oscars.
Sunday night was the Oscars. Listen, true confession, I didn't even watch it until, because Perry was up and I can't I just can't deal with an award show. And plus, after kind of the Golden Globes, I was like, I'm so tired of, I don't want to hear everybody's political thoughts on everything. I mean, I get it, whatever, you're entitled to them. I just don't want to hear it, good or bad. I just don't want to hear it. So I was like, I just don't really get into it. And I was like, I'll look at all the dresses online later. And I was totally fine with that. But then when he went to bed, it was like right about the time that it was going to be the big awards of the night, mm-hmm. you know? So I thought, well, I'll turn on to see that, because that's really all I care about. And so, so I got to see the huge mix up at the end, which I couldn't believe it. I mean, I'm like, what are the odds that that happens in the Miss Universe pageant? It happens now. I'm like, people, if we've learned nothing else, double check your envelope. Make sure you have the right answer.
Well, so here's what I did. I watched pretty much, I mean, that was the day, you know, I had kind of vowed I was going to have pajama. I was going to have some significant pajama time. And so, I watched like some of the pre-show stuff, you know, where they do the red carpet and the dresses mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. And I watched most of the awards. And when it got to after Emma Stone won, I was so tired. I was like, okay, I think that's all I can do. Okay. And so I turned the TV off right before they did Best Picture and went to bed.
because so you didn't know.
No, I have impeccable timing when it comes to pop culture stuff. And so I went to bed. And so when I woke up the next morning, I looked to see what had won Best Picture. And I was like, oh. And then my first thought was, they totally staged that. Like, they just, mm-hmm. they totally staged that. But I don't really think they did. But it was just that whole, like, that lightning doesn't strike twice. That I can't believe that even happened.
Yes. Again. Yes.
But sure enough, it did.
I know. And you, I mean, all I could think is, well, somebody's getting fired. I don't know who, but somewhere somebody's getting fired, because it was so, and I think the whole thing is number one, it made for great television. But I really thought Warren Beatty, I'm like, you know what? They couldn't read and they could, because, you know, I can't see a menu anymore. And so I thought they just couldn't see. And so Faye Dunaway, he couldn't read it. And she just figured it looks like La La Land close enough. That's probably the picture of the year, and just said it. I kind of figured they did the best they could. That was my thought. So, but then what made it more awkward, I appreciate, because I thought the words of Carly Simon's, "You're so vain," have never rung so true to me in light of Warren Beatty feeling like in this moment when there's all this confusion that he needs to get up and explain, it wasn't me.
Right.
Like, I mean, he got
right.
Like, hey, I know La La Land, y'all are a little floored. Moonlight people, you need to get your time in the sun. But first, let me take the microphone to explain all the ways this wasn't my fault. Like, this is not on me.
And Let's get one thing straight, America.
Mm. I want to say, oh, Warren Beatty, I bet you think this Oscars is about you, don't you? I mean, like, he walked in like he was walking onto a yacht. I mean, I just thought, I so appreciate. He's like, I'm not going down in flames for this. So, yeah, it was something. I mean, it was so, but then I felt so bad for everybody, because I'm the La La Land people. I think Horowitz was his last name. I mean, the producer, he could not have been more gracious.
Right.
Because how do you even handle that? But then I felt so bad for the Moonlight people, because it was like there was so much distraction. I don't know that anybody even really got to hear their speech. I'm like, that's kind of the pinnacle moment. And like, they didn't really get to have their moment.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know?
Because I just thought, yeah, because I thought the whole audience, you know, everybody was still like, what just happened? You're kind of shell-shocked. So it was just kind of so weird for everybody involved.
Well, I'm like you. I kind of wondered initially if the issue was that people couldn't see, which really says more about, I think, where we are right now. Like this morning, I spoke at the elementary school's PTF, and I was trying to read the Bible without my reading glasses on. And finally, mm-mm. I was, and it was just like, and Solomon... Mm-hmm. Solomon, like if Solomon, and I finally had to put him on. It's just where we are.
Yeah,
can't see up close, mm-hmm. can't see far away, not at the same time.
No, mm-mm. Pick what you want to see at the time. That's it.
And
I know.
Normally I do okay with my, because you know I have multi-view contacts, and normally I do okay if my eyes aren't tired. But I was working on the spreadsheet thing most of yesterday, and so I'm pretty worthless right now. I don't know. It was something else to know that whole thing, that it played out in real time, I think is crazy. You know, it's one thing, that's live television. That whole thing is live television.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, it was just so, and I think it was just so weird on top of, because I thought it was so interesting to me that, I can't remember his first name, but Horowitz, the producer, that he had to say, like, this isn't a joke, because it's happened so much over the last, you think, the Super Bowl, it was like the Super Bowl, there's been so many things, the college national championship, the Cubs went in, where it's like come down to that last minute thing where it did feel like if there was ever a time you were going to make that joke, that could have been it. But I thought there have been so many weird endings. So I thought, well, you know what we've learned? Except for you, apparently, stay up till the end. Don't go to bed.
I went on to bed. I went
Don't
on to
go to
bed.
bed.
It's tired.
Yeah, well, but you got to see it all the next day. It's about the same. So
So,
I couldn't believe
hey, is your microphone still operational over there?
it. I'm sorry, I just put it down for a minute because I was getting water. Yes. Sorry.
It's so fun. Okay, so who had your favorite dresses?
Who had my favorite dresses? Well, Viola Davis, I always think she looks sucks. She has figured out a formula, which is to go with a bright, solid color, and it just works for her every time.
And she wears things that are super tailored. Nothing too fussy, very tailored and classic lines, and she looks unbelievable.
Yeah, like $1 million. I thought she looked great. I liked Emma Stone's. I mean, I thought that was a good choice when you know that there's a good chance you're going to win Best Actress, because I like that fringe at the bottom. I thought it had a lot of good movement, and I thought it was timeless. I'm trying to think. What about you? Who did you?
I thought Halle Berry looked like $1 million.
Yes, I loved her hair. There were there. I felt like there were mixed reviews on her hair, but I thought it looked great.
I thought her hair looked great. I thought she looked phenomenal. I thought her hair was crazy good.
And you talk about somebody who doesn't age. I mean, she looks the same as she did 20 years. She looks better than she looked 20 years
She
ago. I
looks
don't know what
better
her
than she
secret.
looked 20 years ago.
I don't know what her secret is. So, I did not care for Jessica Biel's dress, that gold with that necklace. That was a lot going on.
I did not care for her hair. I did not like her hair.
No, well, because she's so pretty, and I think that hair is so severe, and you've got to know it just doesn't photograph well.
I thought that's exactly the word. I thought Mama would have said this is very severe. It's very severe. I was not crazy about that. I thought Nicole Kidman looked pretty. I thought
She
that.
did. Yeah, that was the best dress I've seen her wear in a while, because she wore some really, I felt like she made some bad choices early on in the award season, but she rebounded. She came back strong. She came back strong. I'm trying to think anybody else. I mean, I don't remember. I don't know that there was anything that just like knocked my socks off. But I thought they were all pretty. I felt like overall everybody did a really nice job.
Yeah, I think Janelle Monáe does, like, she always does kind of a high fashion thing, more of, and it so hers was a lot for me, but she's not afraid. Like, she'll take a risk, you know?
I agree. I agree. Yeah. I thought overall, I thought everybody looked, I don't remember anybody that I thought, well, that's just terrible.
I don't either. I don't either. I think I love Michelle Williams' style because she's so consistently just minimalist, but with that short hair, and she never has on too much makeup, and she just always looks so, she always looks very neat.
Yes.
Nothing fussy.
Yes. Yes. Well, you think, and she probably, if I had to guess, I bet she weighs 72 pounds and is 5 feet tall. I could pretty much put her and her neat little style in my pocket and carry her around, because she looks tiny. And I always think when you see a celebrity who looks tiny, because they're all tiny, I
Well,
mean,
this,
that's what you don't know is Hollywood is essentially a
yes.
town of tiny, small people. That when you're like, wow, she looks really tiny, you're like, well, she is a miniature sized person.
This is the enduring lesson of Kelly Ripa, isn't it, in your life?
Yeah,
This is.
it is. Thank you. See, this is how long we've been together now, because I was about to tell that story, but I felt certain you probably had heard it before. So the quick recap is when Kelly and I went to go to see Regis, and Kelly years and years ago, I could not get over. I spent the whole time just thinking, well, she's the smallest person I've ever seen. She's very tiny. I can't even describe to you how tiny she is. Caroline is bigger than Kelly Ripa right now.
Really? I can't picture
Yes.
it. I can't wrap my head around it.
She's tiny. Oh, you know who else had a great dress that I saw later? I didn't see her at the shows, and it was very showy and very flashy. It showed a lot of skin, but I did think she looked like $1 million, and it was Kate Hudson.
I don't know if I saw what she had on.
It had, well, her neckline went down to her belly button, which is excessive, but sure. Also, I mean, if you can do it, I mean, good night. You know, and nobody wants to see that on me, but I appreciate how well everything is packaged, because it just, I mean, she pulled it off and it was kind of this real pretty color. I don't know. It just looked good. She looked good in it.
Hey, this has nothing to do with Oscars, but I have somehow managed to get on a church's tax list, but not a church to which I belong. I'm not sure what church it is. But I've gotten several, like, first I got a text from the church asking me where I'd been, that they missed seeing me. And I wanted to say, well, I'm fine, but you haven't seen me because I've never been there. And then today I got a reminder about a conference that they're having. And then just now I got a reminder that the registration's closed, but I can still email and let them know. I don't know what's happened, but.
Is it a place where maybe you spoke and somebody accidentally?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it is. Oh. I don't know what's happened, but. But they say like, hey, Sophie. So I don't know. Or they did one time say, hey, Sophie, but.
But it's not your church?
No, it's not my church.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Okay.
I just got another text from him. That's why I was relaying that.
Okay.
Just,
do you put it on Do Not Disturb? Do you just put the text on Do Not Disturb?
I guess I could. I haven't, but I could.
That's what I do when I get a group text. I was on somebody's group text. I mean, no offense, but it was somebody who, I mean, it was a huge group text list. And there again, not somebody who was listening to this podcast. Otherwise, I wouldn't tell this story.
Sure.
But I would get their like thought for the day with a Bible verse and attached. It was always two pictures. And I was like, this is too much for me to deal with in my life. So I had to put them on Do Not Disturb. Because at one point I had said, could you please just remove me from your list? I get a lot of texts, whatever. And they didn't. And so I felt like, well, I don't know what else to do but to block you at this point.
I feel like the whole texting etiquette thing is a deal. And I don't necessarily always know how to navigate it, because I think what you and I have talked about, how we're never good with the letting it go on the text. Like we always both kind of want to say one more thing.
Yes.
And then sometimes you go think, oh, I just went a step too far. I should have let it go. I should have let it go a text ago. I didn't have to chime in one more time.
But it's hard
sometimes. Yeah.
It's hard to know. I think text etiquette is very tricky. So, especially when it's people you don't know well, you know, because then you're like, well, I don't want them to think that I just didn't respond to their last text, but I was trying to leave them wanting more. I was trying to go out on a up note.
And
like,
then you over emoji because you're trying to like, you're trying to prove that you're being upbeat. So you do some smiley faces or some.
Yes. Yes. I don't know what we would do without emojis. Emojis are really the emotional currency of our culture right now, I feel like.
Somebody put that on a pillow. I mean, come on with just lay that out. Forget chin up, America. Emojis are the emotional currency of our culture. Lay it down. I mean, yes, ma'am.
Well, but it's true, right? Because I'm like, you wouldn't know what anybody says or what their intent is if you couldn't see what emoji goes with it. You know, like, are you serious? Are you kidding?
Yeah, heaven forbid we should have to talk to one another.
Yeah. Are you crying laughing, or are you laughing so hard your face is tilted sideways that you're crying laughing?
Oh, God.
Do you love me with one heart or two hearts?
How many hearts? Do you have heart eyes for me or just one, just a single heart?
Yeah, just a single heart. I don't know. Is it a heart with wings? I don't know. So it's a lot to consider. I would not be a good dater in this day and age. It's a good thing that my dating days are past.
Oh, I would have overplayed my hand over and over again.
And overanalyzed. What do you think he means with "I'll call you later" smiley face? What do you, I mean, the smiley face? It's the smiley face with the blush on his cheeks. So
right.
Does that mean that he was thinking fondly of me? What does that mean? I would have analyzed that to death.
I would too. Not a doubt in my mind. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got some questions from people on the Big Boo Cast Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheBigBooCast. If you would like to join us over there. One is just an announcement that I feel like I need to share, given our talk of SEC news, which is Allison said that she wanted to make sure that we knew that Brett and Jen Bielema are expecting a baby this summer. That's the Arkansas head coach and his wife. And she thinks we all deserve an SEC Wives special based on this news. I could not agree more, Allison. I could not agree more.
I totally agree. If I had been aware of that when we were there last week, I would have suggested that while we were also, once I talked about DeShazer Everett being wrongly called for targeting, I'd have said, hey, and get SEC Wives back on the air.
Yeah, we really should have. We should have gone after that more than we did.
I know. We'll have to do that if we get invited back.
Okay, so here's a question from Dana. She said, I've been listening for a long time and I have a question to submit. By the way, when people tell you they've listened to the podcast and they've gone back and listened to the very first ones, my first reaction is always, I'm so sorry. I am.
For sure. Yeah.
I'm so God sorry. Bless you. Because I believe I believe we read a magazine together the first time we recorded the podcast.
I think you're right. We looked at the
install fashion preview and would comment like on page 33 they have some wide legged pants. I like wide legged pants.
Well, and considering that was a 2008 edition of it, I mean that you can't even go back and find that magazine.
No.
I mean, I guess you could somewhere, but nobody's going to have that laying around.
Oh, golly. Okay. So anyway, Dana said, she said, I've been listening for a long time. Have a question. What podcast do you all listen to, either Christian or mainstream? Thanks. All right. You're welcome, Dana. Okay. What about you?
Honestly, I had never, this true story, I had never listened to another podcast. Actually, that's not true. I have listened to a couple of episodes of Jamie Ivey's Happy Hour, when she's interviewed somebody that I really wanted to hear just when I've had time, like if it's been like, but it's just not something I normally do. But then, as you know, a couple of weeks ago, I started listening to Knox and Jamie's podcast.
Yes.
And so now that has become like my treat for myself. When I'm driving back and forth from soccer practice, I listen to whatever new episode of Knox and Jamie is up. So that's the only one I've ever listened to like consistently. And it's the only one I've ever listened to where I'm like, oh, I would go back and listen to a lot of past episodes of this.
And I think one reason why podcasts have honestly been maybe a little harder for us to kind of get in a groove with, ironically, is because neither one of us really has a commute. If we're in the car, you know what I mean? Like, you have soccer practice, and I do the practice run and all that, but it just takes me a few minutes to get to work. So I'm never in the car for just, like, huge amounts of time during the day. But I love a good podcast when I have lost my screen, by the way. I do love a good podcast when I'm on the road. I love to kind of catch up and listen. And I'm saying, I love the podcast with Jamie and Knox. They make me laugh so hard. I listen to Jamie's podcast to Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey. And I can't really listen to NPR in the car with Alex because he gets bored. And so I will catch up on Fresh Air and listen to those interviews on their NPR Fresh Air podcast. Like, there was one I listened to a couple weekends ago with Lin-Manuel Miranda that a friend of mine had told me about that was so good. And then there was another one with Damien Chazelle, who directed La La Land. And so they're always great ones mixed in there to kind of pull from when you're going to be on the road.
Yeah. And I feel like that was when I discovered Knox and Jamie, was because I had like a couple of different road trips in a row. And so, but it's just so rare that I'm on the road in the car by myself that it's just not normally my go-to. And then when I'm home during the day, it feels like I'm always either writing or I'm doing something where I can't really listen to that. Because like when I'm cooking, I'm have music on because I've got Caroline doing her homework. And, you know, I don't know. I don't have a good chunk of time. I'm saying I don't really normally to just listen.
Well, and I loved the first installment of Serial. I listened to all of that that Christmas it was out and loved it. I had a harder time getting into the second installment. And I think that was mainly because of what I just said. Like, I just didn't have any extended time in the car to kind of to kind of dial into it. So, anyway, a couple of weeks ago, I was going out of town and I listened to, I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but I listened to Heather Dubrow's World from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Just because I can't remember what the topic was, but I was like, oh, I'll see what that's about. But they're all kind. I mean, they're great podcasts. They're great Christian podcasts. They're great podcasts for moms. And I would say if you're looking for new ones, especially like if you're looking for kind of family friendly ones, you can listen to in the car with your kids. If you go to iTunes and you click on podcast, and then you select the kids and family category, you'll see lots of great podcasts for moms. Like that's where you'll find God-Centered Mom and Mom Struggling Well and that kind of stuff. And then you can also go, you can click on other categories and you can find entertainment or whatever it is that interests you. So
There's a podcast for everything.
There is a podcast for everything.
Mm-hmm. For every interest.
Okay. So somebody asked, has anybody found all the episodes of the SEC Wives that we talk about on the podcast? And I actually looked after the last podcast and I cannot find them online. I cannot even find them on YouTube.
Oh, interesting. Somebody said, get rid of that. Take it, get it down, get it off the air.
I know. Okay. Heidi mentioned that in the last few episodes, it seems like your voice has been louder than mine. We're trying to work on that a little bit today. So I hope that's better, Heidi.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's one from Tracy. She said, this is more a recommendation than a question, but she says that she wants to pass on a new series that's on PBS. It's called Secrets of the Six Wives. It's a documentary series about all the wives of Henry VIII. Narrated by a lovely British woman, and she speaks during half the show, and then they show dramatizations the other half. And she thought, if you're interested in The Crown or Victoria, that might be your thing. So,
Well, that's good to know.
I know.
I have not really. Well, I'm watching. I'm still behind on Victoria. I have not caught up. This Is Us. I will tell you. And I'm not going to spoil it because I know a lot of people have not seen This Is Us, and I know you haven't either. But all last week, I felt like when I was gone, like a couple of people texted me, have you watched This Is Us? I felt like on social media, I saw people say This Is Us. Friday night after everybody went to bed, and I was so fried from the week and just being out of town and whatever, I watched it, and I really got to a point where I thought, well, I am about to curl up in the fetal position and sob my eyes out. I don't know that I've ever cried as hard.
Really?
It makes me tear up every week, but it was one of those where I was like, it just wrecked me. I mean, it just got me right in the heart. It's that show. I can't get over it. It just destroyed me. It really did. But it was so beautiful. Like the kind of like where I'm like, oh, well, I'll watch it again.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm still behind. Yeah. I haven't watched television other than sports really all week, but.
You'll know when you get to it. You'll know when you get to this episode. Because, I mean, like I said, every week there's something that pulls at your heartstrings. But this was just another level. It just did me in.
I thought last week, what does it say about us? Now, you can say something profound about this, Miss Emojis are our emotional currency. Hashtag emojis are our emotional currency. you can come up with a theory on this, but I really did think this. What does it say about us as a nation that we are so drawn to a television show that makes us just beside ourselves like This Is Us does? Like, what does it say that we want to feel emotion that deeply week after week after week? And is it because, this is a question I would have asked in English class, but is it because we're not feeling that in our real lives? Or is it because we don't take time to feel it in our real lives? Or is it because we can only feel those things about pretend people? Real life is too complicated.
Well, I'm going to tell you, part of the problem is that emojis are our current emotional currency.
There it is. There it is, everybody.
That's part of the problem because We just brush over. We don't dig deep. And I think that that's a show that forces you to dig deep is what it is. It's like, we like that. And it's not, it's that whole thing of, to me, that you can watch it and you can feel all those things and it can make you feel all those emotions, but it's not really your mess to deal with. Because the thing about This Is Us is it's relatable because it's messy and everybody's right. got their problems and issues and all that stuff. So we relate to it, but we can relate to it on a different plane, instead of like when you're just immersed in it in your real life, I feel like, which then you're just like, well, this just all feels like a mess.
I think we're at a point where we need to start using our self voices as we talk about our feelings. Yeah. I think we need to consider our self voices, because
that's right.
But here's really what, because I think you're right. And I think that it's easier to feel that. I think we probably all have situations in our real lives where we could go there, but we don't.
Mm-hmm.
For a thousand yes. reasons, we don't. Mm-hmm. And so it's easier mm-hmm. to feel that about the people on the TV screen. And because that show is so messy, you know, and the relationships are very complicated, it's, yes. It's a nice little surrogate. It's a nice stand-in without us yes. having, like you said, to dig too deep into our own junk.
Yes, because I think in real life, if Kevin really is your brother, you're so exasperated with him because of all the times that he's chosen himself or been mm-hmm. done something selfish. I mean, you can't separate that, but you can watch it from afar and it's all beautiful. And it's got, maybe if our life had better background music, we would dial in more.
Maybe so.
It just, because it's all a moment and there's a song playing and you feel all the things and isn't it beautiful and all that stuff. But I just think they make it look, it's the same reason Parenthood made everybody think, oh, I wish that I had four brothers and sisters mm-hmm. or whatever. Where in reality, a lot of people probably do. And some days you could take them or leave them, but they make it all look so beautiful. And they have twinkle lights in their backyard and they yes. always live in great houses. I don't know. It's the whole thing. So, because I even thought, and not to this doesn't spoil, but there was an exchange. I love Randall and Beth in that show and yes, I love their marriage. But there was, and I think that they do a good job of making their marriage seem pretty realistic. But there was a thing in the episode this week where I was like, that makes for good TV. But if you were really his wife, you would be, I don't think that you would be that good natured about this whole situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like it would not resolve this easily.
I do think though that they're the Coach and Tammy Taylor of this particular show.
Sure. For sure. I mean, like if you're going to pick who you would like to live next door to, it's them for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Speaking of, again, a different topic. Did you know that Landry and Kirsten Dunst were dating?
Now that I had forgotten that, but now that you say that, I remember seeing that somewhere.
Well, I did not know that.
Okay. I'm just happy for,
listen, mm-hmm. listen, I'm happy for Landry.
Yeah, you go. Mm-hmm. You go. So,
okay. Well, I'm glad we analyzed that. Like I really had been thinking about that just, you know, in terms of mm-hmm. it, in like, it's a little bit of an emotional beating to sit down and watch.
Yeah.
And we're all on board for it.
Absolutely. I'm going to sit down and let you just manipulate my emotions, you know, like I'm going to buy in for
but
this.
It's not cheesy. So, I think is the other thing though. It doesn't feel like everybody's very real.
Yes. Yes. And you don't feel like, and I do feel like the way they write it, I feel like the way they write the show is subtle enough.
Yes.
But it allows
yes, Beth.
You,
mm-hmm.
yes. It allows you to have your own personal emotional connection to it without overreaching. It doesn't try to tell you what to feel. It just leaves the moment there and it allows you to feel it in your own way.
Oh gosh. Yes, ma'am.
That's what I'm going to say. Uh-huh. It doesn't, it gives you the benefit of the doubt. It allows for the viewer to be smart and come to their own conclusions about situations too. Instead
That's
of,
true. I'm a fan of that. You know, I'm a fan of that with books. I'm a fan of that. Like mm-hmm. you trust the reader enough to make a leap. You don't have to make the leap for them.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to spell out like, mm-hmm. well, he is very sad because right. he lost the love of his life. It just lets you go along with that or whatever.
Yes.
So,
okay. I feel like we talk about This Is Us every week and I'm so behind on it, but at least now I can kind of participate in the conversation.
Yeah. So there we go. So, we talk about a lot of things every week. I mean, mascara and I don't know.
I don't
other
have,
stuff. Hey, you,
What?
You know what we talked about a couple of weeks ago? Do you remember that you had just been in Tucson? And remember I told you, I was like, remember Mel Tillis had that song?
Yes.
Send Me Down to Tucson?
Yes.
Well, after we got off the thing, I went and listened to it because I hadn't heard it since my childhood. I'm going to tell you, it's the lyrics to that song are the worst. You want to talk about the worst human being ever? Like, I was like, well, first of all, that song was not appropriate for me to be singing when I was in third grade. And, I mean, it's awful. It's all about he wants to go down there because he's got a girlfriend in Tucson and he loves his woman at home. I was like, well, this is just awful, Mel Tillis. Shame on you. So
shame
that was
on
my
you,
takeaway.
Mel Tillis.
Yeah. So just know that when I mentioned that song a couple of weeks ago, it wasn't an endorsement for that song. It was just a memory.
Right.
But a lot of country music in the 70s, that was kind of that was the overarching theme.
Oh, I mean, there's so much that I sang along with enthusiastically in the 70s that was very inappropriate.
It's very wrong.
Louisiana
yeah.
Woman, Mississippi Man. We get together anytime we can. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. You're Nobody Called Today. She hung up when I asked her name. I loved that song.
Something else. The Somebody's Knocking?
Oh, I mean, it's the devil. Should I let him in? I mean, that's. Not appropriate.
Come
not
on.
Appropriate. So.
Okay, what else we got? Anything pressing in the way of books, beauty products, etc. and so on? By the way, I don't know if you saw this last night. I mentioned it on Twitter. But in one of the more humiliating moments of my 40s, because, you know, the Lord giveth things like the SEC
yes.
Video Center, and he taketh away things like your pride.
Yeah.
Because last night I went to walk at the gym after I took Alex to lacrosse, and then I thought, you know what, I'm gonna do some light weights, and because there was nobody in there, which is key for weights. That
yes.
must be
an
almost empty setting. And anyway, I realized as I was leaving that I had my reading glasses on my head the whole time, and I felt so sorry for myself. Like, it's bad enough that you go to the gym and you're not 26 anymore. Like, that's bad enough. Like, that, but
to wear essentially a banner that advertises that fact.
To know that I got on those weight machines with my reading glasses on top of my head. I just need you to feel sorry for me a second. Like, that was bad. That was bad.
I'm so happy. Well, listen, it just maybe somebody thought you had been reading on the elliptical before you got on your weight machine.
Well, Stacey Easton told me on Twitter, she was like, listen, I wear mine when I run or else I couldn't see my phone.
Yeah.
You gotta embrace it, which is true.
But, you do.
But
it's,
I had not
I know,
actually
but...
used mine. I had just forgotten and left them on the whole time. The whole time.
Like a headband.
The whole time on the treadmill. The whole time I was trying to do those weights, had my reading glasses on.
Oh, good night. Well, listen, the 40s are nothing if not humbling, you know?
Oh,
so, I know I laughed cause I talked to Gully today and she said something about, she goes, I mean, I just have felt more 40 than ever. She said, like, it's just really dawning on me that I'm in my 40s, she said, which since I'm going to be 45 this year, it's probably about time.
it's a good time. I feel like as soon as you get used to it, you're really on the other side of it. You know
That's
what I
it.
Mean? Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, well, you know, now I'm on the downhill side.
I know.
I'm close to 50, you know? So, I know. No, I don't have anything else. Perry has surgery tomorrow. So that's going to be the rest of my week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. But he has to be there at 4 a.m. Have you ever heard of somebody having to be at surgery? 4 a.m. is what time he's got to be there tomorrow.
I have never heard of that kind of
4
early.
So guess what we came up with? He's calling a cab at 3:30. I'm going to meet him there. That's 20 years of marriage. I'll meet you there at 7.
That is 20 years of marriage.
But I'm like, what else are we supposed to do? I mean, it doesn't even, because I'm like, then we got to get into Caroline's got to spend the night somewhere or whatever, because she's got to get to school. So I'm like, it really doesn't make sense for both of us to go across town at 3:30 in the morning.
My goodness, that is early.
I know, 4 a.m. So
he
which
must
I guess
be the
they have
first one, like the first one on the books for the day or something.
Yeah. Well, they said his surgery is supposed to happen at 6 a.m.
Okay. So they've got to prep him and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And you know, they have to do all that, take your blood and all that kind of stuff. Make sure you don't have a fever, all that stuff. So anyway.
So you're really just meeting him in the recovery room is really what's happening.
Pretty much. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Which, you know, this is exactly, we did the same thing because, you know, he had sinus surgery. When was it? This summer? Or last or whatever, but it was the saddest thing because when I finally got there, and I can't remember now why I couldn't go, but when I got there, they were like, we'll have to see your driver's license, and they just handed me his bag of belongings that they'd had to just put like a bag because there was nobody there.
Yeah.
To take them.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this is just pitiful that he had to just put his belongings in this bag.
Yeah, you got to think, like, if this were happening, like, your third year of marriage, it would have been near certain counseling. Oh. Like, it would have been near certain counseling. Like, where is the empathy? Where is the compassion? Where is the care? Like, I know, there's an emotional distance between us that I don't know how to reconcile. I had surgery and she didn't come to the hospital until I was in recovery.
I know. I had to put my belongings in this plastic bag. It was terrible.
And now it's like, you want me to, I'll just swing by. Anyway, I'll swing by and pick you up when it's over.
You think they could, can they wheel you
can
out
they
to
wheel
the car?
Can you out? Because I'll just swing by and get you. That's fine.
I'll honk when I get there. I'll honk when I pull up in the circular drive. See if they can run you out.
Oh, my word. That is something else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's what we got going on. But that's it. And then 74 soccer games between now and Monday. And then that's pretty much the rest of our week. We have four. We have one Thursday, one Saturday, one Sunday, one Monday.
Wow. That's a lot.
And we're having a cookout at our house on Friday night for our church group. Because, you know, Perry's going to feel just fine by Friday.
Wait, y'all are having a cookout? He thinks he's going to cook fish?
He thinks he's going to cook burgers.
He does? While he's sitting? Like, I'm real confused about how
not as confused
gonna...
as I am.
Seriously?
Yeah.
All right, sister.
Mm-hmm. So needless to say, I have the local barbecue place. I have the barbecue station on speed dial in case we have to rethink that plan and buy a cookout. What we mean is come to our house and eat some takeout food that we have picked up.
I feel like you ought to go ahead and place that order. I really do. Because he's gonna have to have anesthesia, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. And I've told him, you know, my standard, you know, I read one time, and this is like Kelly Ripa being small, that if all you did was go under general anesthesia and come right back out, it takes your body a week to recover.
Well, I was going to say, and I've always heard that really the second day after anything is sort of the worst, you know, like your first day of being fully out from under the anesthesia and all that kind of stuff. And that would be the day before your cookout.
Yep. Sure would. Sure would. You've done the exact same math on this that I have, but apparently I don't know what I'm talking about. So the good news is it's our church group. And so it's small. So I feel like if worst case scenario, if I need to say, you know what, everybody, we're going to reschedule, that's going to be okay too.
That's fine.
So, So that is that, but
well,
anyway,
so that is fascinating. I'm telling you what, there's no quitting Perry Shankle. There's no quitting him. No quitting him.
He ain't gonna let a knee replacement take him down. He's gonna be cooking burgers the next day. So
goodness.
But he assures me it'll be fine because for him, if he's in bed and then I'm out there flipping burgers. So anyway, we'll see how that goes.
Y'all have so much fun at your post surgery cookout. It sure sounds like fun.
It'll be easier than that cab ride home from the hospital.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Well, all right. Well, I guess I'm headed to soccer to pick up, to do my carpool pickup.
All right. Well, you enjoy that, and we will talk to y'all later.
We'll talk to y'all later. Have a good one.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
sound the same. So this time the boss chose me. I've been sort of restless, guess you thought it might happen. I got away from the wife and family.
Here's to the ones who dream, foolish as they may seem. Here's to the hearts that ache. Here's to the mess we make.